Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Here's your friend, Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about why pray. What good does it do? I don't really know how to pray, people say to me. I don't have time to pray. And if God already knows what I want to ask, what is the point of asking? Well, there's some very, very important reasons for asking. But the most important to start with, I think, is just that it brings us into the brightness of the divine light and exposes our will to the warmth of divine love. That's a quote from Francis de Sales. We need to be brought to the knees of our Heavenly Father, as a little child runs to his daddy when his daddy gets home, because he wants to be with his father. Every batch of mail brings stories of the changes that prayer has made in a marriage, a family, a workplace, a church, or somewhere. If only you could read those letters, you would certainly know that there are good reasons for praying. And somebody would say, yes, I know God hears those people's prayers, but he doesn't hear mine. He does hear ours. But we have to remember that the bottom line of our prayers should always be, thy will be done. We come to the Lord of the universe. We come as a child, dependent, ignorant, and expectant. We ask him for his kingdom and his will. And then we make our petitions known unto him. Because people often ask me for suggestions about prayer and quiet time or devotions, I offer these as suggestions. I would surely never want to presume to tell somebody how they ought to pray. But I have been greatly blessed by many who know how to pray and who have helped me. And I grew up in a home where we had prayer twice a day as a family, and we were prayed with when we went to bed at night. And my father prayed for each of his children by name four times a day, including during his lunch hour at the office. So for those of you who feel as though you could use a few suggestions, I will give some. What about the time of praying? Early morning is probably the best time, and there are many scriptural precedents for that. Jesus himself rose a great while before day and went out into the hills to pray. We find the psalmist saying, "Early in the morning you will hear my voice." We sing that hymn, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning," is another verse from the Psalms. Our minds are less loaded, fresher. The energy level is higher. And if you say that that's not true of you, you have to have your coffee first, then by all means have your coffee or whatever you have to do to get yourself civilized and upright. You know, we do need to be silent before God. And don't you think it's a better idea to talk to God before you talk to anybody else? Try to arrange to do that. Put yourself in the presence of God. I find this a very helpful thing when I get out of bed. I put on my robe, I drink two or three glasses of water, and I stand for a few minutes in the presence of God in the dark, and try to use one of the old hymns, such as, "We praise thee, O God, we acknowledge thee to be the Lord." It's a way of not barging in immediately with my list of relatively petty things, because it's more important that I worship and that I stand silently in the presence of God. To be silent is probably the hardest thing that any of us do. It's not so hard to keep your mouth shut, but I think it's very hard to corral my thoughts. They do go in many different directions. But do try to practice silence before God. It's a big help to me to use the prayers of Scripture. And I have a little booklet called And When You Pray. It has almost all the prayers from the New Testament in it. I think it is all the prayers from the epistles. There may be some other prayers that are not there, but at least it's a start. And it's a good way to begin to learn what kinds of things we should be praying for. For example, in Ephesians 3, Paul is praying, and he says, I kneel before the Father, from whom all fatherhood, earthly and heavenly, is named, and pray that out of the glorious richness of his resources, he will grant you to know the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement. And right there, I can think of people who I think need the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement. But I wouldn't have thought of those words by myself. So why not use words which are helpful to us from the Scriptures themselves? Of course, use the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Another thing which is very important in my prayer life, my spiritual life, is hymns. And I really do grieve over the fact that in many of the churches we visit, they don't sing hymns anymore. Maybe it's because they can't afford the hymn books, but then there is such a thing as an overhead projector, isn't there? And they put choruses on, but you can put a hymn on the overhead projector just as well as you can put a chorus. They're rich. They're deep in theology. They're instructive. And they're consistent. The hymn writer begins with verse 1 and proceeds on through 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 and 7. And there is a logical, sensible progression of theological thought, which I don't find in most of the modern praise songs, worship songs, or choruses, whatever you wish to call them. I'm not knocking the latter. I'm simply saying that if you want to learn to pray, the scriptural prayers are a very good place to start, not with our petitions. So when we've used scriptural prayers or hymns, then the Lord can direct our thoughts to the highest and holiest things. And it may just be that having looked at the highest and the holiest, our own list is going to be considerably revised. It does put a different light on some of our concerns, doesn't it? Take a hymn like When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Can I sing that honestly? Probably not, to start with. But I can say, Lord, give me grace to be able to sing it honestly. Transform my thinking. Correct my desires. Teach me to pray. A hymn that probably many of you know is How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Consider the words. Pray through the words. Ask God to help you to praise him and to give you words, to open your eyes to the things for which you ought to praise him. It's very easy for us to think only of our own needs or the needs of people who are close to us. And there's nothing wrong with praying about those. Please don't get me wrong. We are told specifically in Philippians 4 that we are to make our requests known to God. I'm just suggesting that it's probably better if we start not with our requests, but with praise and worship. Remember that the Lord is listening. It matters to Him that you've made the effort to come. He sees you. He hears you. He does answer according to His wisdom and His love. Now, if you've missed out on this morning prayer time, try to offer up your prayers later. Maybe while you're driving or cooking or walking from home to school. Christ is in you. He hasn't gone anywhere. In Acts 17, it says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." Think about the unchangeable fact that He is always present with us, even when He seems absent. He hasn't gone anywhere. And another word from Francis de Sales, who is so practical and so very down to earth. He says, "Let what you do be short and simple." And I would add, let it be honest. If you don't feel like praying, tell the Lord you don't feel like praying. If He seems far away, tell Him He seems far away. But then take your stand on the Scripture itself that tells us that He will never forsake us. He hasn't gone anywhere. I want to close with a prayer that I learned way back when I was in my early teens. The prayer of Betty Scott Stamm, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee to be Thine forever. Fill me and seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life, at any cost, now and forever."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.